Hey, this is Chris Brown. This episode is brought to you by Vanderblumen, the search group who helps churches and ministries build great teams through their innovative pastor search and church staffing process. Visit Vanderblumen.com for more information. That's Vander, BLOEMEN.com.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. This is a show where you call in and we discuss what your daily stewardship things that are going on in your life, how we can help and how we can look into scriptures and say, hey, you know what? This is how we handle these kind of situations. The phone number to call in is 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And you can also email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com, chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. And those of you who are active on social media, you can also send in those testimonies, comments, questions into Chris Brown on Air on all social media platforms. I'm not sure where this Wednesday finds you. I don't know what you're looking forward to in the day, what you're experiencing right now or what you're going to experience later on. But let me encourage you in this way. I was reading 2 Samuel recently in my Stewardship Bible, which I highly recommend, by the way. Stewardship Bible is absolutely incredible. I've read the Bible from cover to cover and several different occasions. But the Stewardship Bible has allowed me to look at stories in the Bible from a different angle. And the commentary is just really good on looking at these stories just a different way, and pretty cool stuff. But there's an incredible quote right there in the margin in my Stewardship Bible that I would love to relay to you and hopefully encourage you with. The quote is from Cynthia Heald, and it said this: "I have learned over the years that true wisdom comes not from our culture and its many voices, but from knowing who God is. God, above all, is righteous, good, unerring, trustworthy, irreproachable. If I can ever boast about anything, it is that I believe God is who he says he is. He is right. He is absolute. He is fair and just, and his love never fails. For me, discovering that God is righteous, right in all his ways, was at once humbling and reassuring." So again, I don't know what today holds for you, but just rest in that. That is truth right there. I know it's a quote from somebody who lives on earth, but it comes from deep-rooted time with God about our unfailing God. I don't know what you're facing, but we do have an unfailing God. So hopefully I gave you a little bit of time to call in and encouraged you at the same time. Oh my goodness, how does that work? That's so awesome. We've got our first call from Pendleton, South Carolina. This is Tim. Tim, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Chris. How are you?
I'm better every day. How can I help you?
Well, I had a question related to insurance. I'm 52. My wife is 62. So we got a little bit of a different situation there. Mm-hmm. We've been married 25 years.
Congrats.
Yeah, it's been great. We took Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace at our church over 15 years ago, and it literally changed our lives. Mm-hmm. We were $320,000 in debt, and today we're absolutely debt-free.
Wait, hold on. I can't just skim over that, Tim. That's a pretty big deal.
Okay.
$320,000-something. If you're listening in, it's very likely that you don't have that much debt. And here Tim is calling in, and he's 100% debt-free. It can happen, folks. Lots of hard work, lots of good decisions, and lots of prayer.
That's right.
That's awesome, Tim. So that's really exciting to talk about, especially in comparison to insurance. So I thought I would stop there.
I appreciate that. Yeah, yeah. Well, and if there's, you know, we've really gotten, we took the program and we did do the hard work, and we got really serious at at the program, and mm-hmm. we're in a different situation now financially. And yeah. I guess if there's one hole in our financial plan, mm-hmm. I'm self-employed. I do not have any disability insurance, and we do not have long-term care. And I'd met with a couple of guys who tried to sell me some permanent life insurance. I know how Dave Ramsey feels about that.
But yeah.
These programs they were trying to sell had some way that the policy could be used also for long-term care eventually and possibly even some disability. I still don't know that that's the right thing. I guess the question in general is, should we purchase disability and long-term care of some type, or should we try to become self-insured against those potential situations?
Yeah, you know, typically for self-insuring in those situations, I reserve that for, you know, gazillionaires.
Okay.
It's going to end up being, you're calling from South Carolina, and like right. Let's say a semi-private room in a nursing facility, it's going to run you about $5,000 or $6,000 a month. So
right.
if that kind of expense at 70, 80, 85 years old is a joke to you, and it's like, whatever, then... Ooh. I wouldn't worry about it. But for most people, it's not. And so what I recommend is for folks to look into long-term care insurance at 59 and a half years old. And at 60 years old, it needs to be put into play. So the policies, the premium that you're going to pay is going to be significantly less than $5,000 or $6,000 a month that you want to try to avoid if you were to have to pay self-insured.
Okay.
So I definitely think you should talk to one of our ELPs, one of our insurance professionals.
Okay.
We got plenty in South Carolina, but on stewardship.com, there is a link there, a very large link that says ELP, endorsed local providers, and those are insurance professionals that we have filtered and that we put our name behind, that they are going to have the heart of a teacher and not the heart of a salesman. And they're going to teach what we teach.
Okay.
And that's important to us. So we've kind of filtered them for you. Just ask them the question about, what are some of these package deals that I'm hearing about where you can mix in a little bit of long-term disability in there as well? They've probably got lots of options. But yes, long-term care starting at age 60. So for her, yes, not for you yet.
Okay. That's great. That's perfect.
All righty. We appreciate the call, Tim.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
Hey, when I was an executive pastor, I used Vander Blumen's search group to help me find church leaders to join our church. As the leading search firm for churches and faith-based organizations, Vander Blumen prayerfully comes alongside your team to guide you through the search process and bring you great candidates that fit your church's needs. And actually, they connected Dave Ramsey with me. Because of their ministry, I am able now to serve and use my passions to spread the message of stewardship to the local church. Visit VanderBlumen.com for more information. That's Vander, BLOEMEN.com. Well, folks, I told you can email in as well. Shauna emails in and says, "Hello, I'm 30 years old and saving to buy a house. I've always lived below my means, just like Colby, and have only had one car loan that I paid off in less than 2 years. I have had credit cards since I was 18, and I use them regularly, but I have never carried a balance month to month." Folks, I see where this is going. "I've kept the credit cards while paying off the balance every month in order to pay no interest and maintain a good credit score for when I purchase a home. I also receive cash back bonuses every month that I use to reduce my expenses. My question is whether or not there's a reason for me to get rid of the credit cards. They have never been a temptation for me to overspend or to borrow, and have only helped save money in the form of the cash back bonuses." There's so much I can say here, Shauna. I have probably about a 15-minute answer for you for this one, but I will kind of shorten it up a little bit. We all need to realize there's a danger with using plastic. Even in their own research, credit cards research, we spend 22% more when we use plastic. Okay, if you go to the fast food restaurant, the average fast food purchase is $7 as opposed to $4.50 with cash. And the whole idea of these points, you don't know it, but you're playing basketball instead of playing golf. What does that mean? That means your whole objective is to score more points. That's what you do in basketball. But in golf, the whole idea is to have less strokes. So you're trying to spend more subconsciously so that you can get more points. And at the end of the day, Proverbs 22:7 says the borrower is enslaved to the lender. Romans 13:8 says, owe no man anything. What you're doing is you're making a purchase on the 5th. And then you owe somebody something from the 5th all the way to the 30th when you make that payment. You borrowed, regardless of interest, and you paid it back on the 30th. You borrowed. That's why I don't like it. I've never met a millionaire that says, you know what? Here's how I became a millionaire. I became a millionaire because of those points. Man, they worked. Listen, you've been very successful with money, Shauna. I congratulate you. Way to go. But it is not the credit cards that's got you there. I would say you'd be even more successful without them. So I am not a big fan, and hopefully that answers your question. And are you probably going to be okay if you do it either way? For you personally, you probably will because you're doing so many things right. But I'm telling you, the credit cards are not helping you. You are, if you're going to leave a legacy, and it sounds like you are, it's not going to be because of your points. Folks, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and I'm your host, Chris Brown. We're right here on the dial Monday through Friday. And of course, we're on iTunes and stewardship.com as well. This next call comes in from Atlanta, Georgia. This is David. David, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
Awesome. Great. Thank you so much for taking my call. So my wife and I have a goal to adopt one day a kid from China, and I'm kind of struggling with the challenge of just financially how to work it all in there. We currently have no debt except for our home. We owe about $83,000 on our home. We have an emergency fund in place. And the challenge I'm dealing with is, do I throw in all the extra money that we have and just put it right towards this adoption? Because if we were to save week or month after month, it's going to take us about 2.5 years to do this with the cost of it. Or do I still try and put some extra away toward the home, toward retirement, and toward our current son's college savings? I forgot to mention, I'm 29, my wife's 29, and our son is 3 years old. So just want to see what your thoughts were regarding how to go about saving up for this.
Yeah, how much is the adoption?
We're looking at between maybe $35,000 to $39,000 total.
Okay, and your income?
Together, it's a little over $80,000.
Okay. All right. So when you're thinking about your family and you're thinking about your dreams, and you're obviously dreaming about having this adopted child from China, which is part of your dream,
right.
When you think about your entire dream, you got to ask yourself, what does that look like? For instance, what does the future of this child look like as a 17-year-old, an 18-year-old, what kind of school are they going to be attending? What does retirement look like for you and your wife? What does the future look like for the child that you have now? You got to really look at your retirement in HD, the entire thing, not just this adoption. Because if you look at this adoption with tunnel vision, kind of in a vacuum, you can really make some bad decisions because it pulls on your heartstrings,
right?
You know, so profoundly. When everything else is just as valuable, you know, it pulls on your heartstrings. So it's good that you're calling, you know, me as a third party. And obviously you're probably talking to other people as well, because they can look at this objectively when you're so in it emotionally. You're here, and what we teach the baby steps, and you're, this would be a baby step 4. And I'm getting the vibe that you're familiar with the baby steps. So you're sitting here at baby step 4, and you're wondering, this is for all of our listeners, do I start investing in baby step 4, or do I just hunker down on this $39,000 expense and postpone my baby step number 4? Is that really kind of what it is?
Right. Yeah, that's exactly it.
Okay. So here's the deal. I would start baby step 4 because I'd pull up and I would see my entire dream of what I want our family to look like while going nuts on the adoption. And I would probably try to squeeze this baby step, this adoption in between 4 and 5. The reason why is because nobody can pay for your retirement but you and what you do right now. But there are ways to go to college, cash flow at scholarships. There's other things you can do, go to a cheaper school. But retirement, who's going to help you in that? I mean, you got to start doing that now. So that's why I don't like it before baby step four with the investing for retirement, but maybe before baby step five, and all depends on your philosophy. If you're wanting to send your children to, you know, $100,000 a year school, that's going to change things a little bit. So,
right.
And you know what? I also think that a lot of times I try to do these kind of things on my own, and I don't personally put enough time and energy into prayer. Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." And I don't want you to put all of this $35,000 to $39,000 on you. I think Dwight L. Moody said, "Some people think God does not like to be troubled with our constant coming and asking. The way to trouble God is not to come at all." And I think a lot of us do that. And I think you can ask him. You can be asking people. I have this tweet I tweeted recently. It says, "Refusing to ask others for help when we need it is refusing others an opportunity to serve." To serve God through serving us. So I just think I would be honored if somebody came and asked me to help with their adoption process. I would love that. The opportunity to that. And I do think some people do it in an obnoxious way. So you got to do it. You got to do it in the right way. And, right. You're giving them an opportunity. You're not coming to them entitled and making them feel obligated. But you're saying, right. Hey, listen, we're trying to do this. If you want in on it, you can get in on it. I'd love for you to have the opportunity to invest in our family, something like that. But anyway, that's me. That's where I would put it in the baby steps, and I would make sure this is a very spiritual experience, that you're leveraging this for prayer and asking people to join you in the journey. But I would get going on that baby step four if I were you.
Got it. Thank you so much for your help. That makes a lot of sense.
Hey, and I'm talking about investing in you. I want to invest in you. I see you're calling from Atlanta, and I would love to just honor you and your wife for this heart to bring in an adopted child. And I want to give you free tickets, VIP backstage tickets to the SMART conference that is coming to Atlanta on October 8th. And so I'm going to give you two free tickets. You stay on the line, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, David. All right, folks. Lots of conversation so far in this broadcast about insurance. And we talked with a couple of folks already about that. One was I believe it might have been an email, and one was a phone call. But I've got a quick question for you. I know insurance is not really fun to talk about, but if there was only one thing that you needed to do to save hundreds of dollars right now, you would do it, right? Well, a crazy number of people overpay for insurance. And I know, again, no one's excited about talking about this. It's boring, complicated, confusing, but just hang with me. The trick is to find an independent agent. You heard me hinted that earlier. These agents work for you, not the insurance company. They work for you to shop around and find the best policy for your family and for your budget. And we have a network of agents in our endorsed local provider program who are local experts with the heart of a teacher. They provide top-notch service that you can trust. And check this out, the service is absolutely free. So go to stewardship.com, click on Find an ELP to get connected with an independent agent right there in your area. You are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I'm your host, Chris Brown, and the phone number is 866-357-3283. We'd love it if you'd call in, and you can also email in as well at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com.
Thank you for joining us on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. You can email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com with your questions or your success stories at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call us at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Let's get back to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
This next call is Christian. He's calling in from Cincinnati, Ohio. Christian, how are you?
I'm doing well, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course. How can I help?
Hey, just a quick question. I'm 24 years old. I've got I got my bachelor's degree about a little over a year ago in communications. And I got a little bit of student debt. I'm not a ton, about $26,000. My question is, I kind of want to take a different route career-wise. And I was just wondering if you think it would be behoove of me to go back to school or just kind of sit tight and chip away at my current situation.
What's the different route?
It would be more of like a vocational school kind of thing, whether it's like paramedic, fire, something like that, EMT maybe.
I wouldn't do anything until you've got a little bit more clarity on what it is. I just asked you that question. You gave me lots of options, which is fine. It's good place. 24 years old. You don't need to know right now. And then earlier you said you used the word kinda twice. And so those kind of things tell me that you don't have anything solidified yet. So I wouldn't want you to go down a path and invest anything into a path that you might not ultimately fulfill. Because right now you already have one that you're already kind of vacating. And I wouldn't want you to do that twice. So I think it's really, really wise to just sit back, kind of analyze, who am I? What are my giftings? What am I passionate about, either positively or negatively? Sometimes you can really go after a calling because you're so passionately against some kind of injustice or some kind of lack in the marketplace. But find out exactly who you are and where you fit in the workplace. And I'd probably sit tight for 6 months minimum for that reason, but also for the reason of getting ready for your debt first before you go on to anything else. Because a lot of times we justify higher education because it is such an investment. It's such a great thing, as opposed to something that's a depreciating asset like a car or something. And so we can justify borrowing or not paying off past debt so that we can go buy more with education. But really, at the end of the day, it is a luxury. It is something that's not necessary. And I wouldn't want you to go pile on more debt until you take care of the previous debt. And it might just be 6 months. At 24 years old, are you single with no kids?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, you're single, no kids. You can knock out that $26,000 in 6 months. You can work an extra job. You can work around the clock. You can just kill it. That's one thing. Every season of life has its pros and cons. And one of the pros for you right now is time and energy and health, and all those things are working for you. So I would let it work for you and pay off this $26,000 with about $27,000 with interest, as opposed to waiting 3 years, 4 years, and end up having to pay $35,000.
Okay.
Okay. So just wait. I'd wait 6 months, get some clarity, and attack this debt, and you're going to feel really good going into cash flowing that second degree.
Awesome. Sounds good. That makes perfect sense.
All right, Christian. Appreciate the call. All right, folks. Got an email here from Tyler. It says, hello, Chris. I'm 23 years old. I've been starting my career while getting ready to be married next month. Naturally, I have been planning financially, scrimping, and saving. I discovered the baby steps about a year ago, and that's a reference to Financial Peace University. For those of you who don't know, go to stewardship.com and check out Financial Peace University. But he says, I discovered the baby steps about a year ago, and they have changed my financial life in such a positive way. Because of Dave Ramsey and your plan, I've been winning with money. I just wanted to say I appreciate your podcast because it helps me to make responsible decisions with money while viewing my finances through a Christian lens. I think many churches and church leaders shy away from the topic of money, except when it comes to tithing. Please keep doing what you're doing. Well, Tyler, we appreciate the very kind email. Very encouraging to not only myself, but also to our team. And not necessarily just the thank you, but the very specifics of how it's helping you. That's where we really get encouraged, because you're being specific of how we're helping you. So love that. And please know, you've made a little note here about the church shying away from topic of money. That's real. That's very real. Many of you go to churches today where there's a lack with that kind of discipleship. Please know that here at Ramsey Solutions, and me specifically, the team that kind of surrounds me, we're trying to help with that also. We are trying to equip. We're trying to encourage. We're trying to empower church leaders with this. And one of the ways we do that is through our Leadership Momentum podcast. If you're not familiar with that podcast, and you want to familiarize yourself with that, it's called the Leadership Momentum Podcast. It's on iTunes. I invite you to check it out. Maybe you're not a church leader, but you want to be in on the conversation. Go check it out. You can just subscribe there and download all of the episodes with some of the biggest church leaders in the country. And the website that's tied to that podcast is stewardshipcentral.org, where we give them tons of resources to equip them to disciple you right there in the seats better when it comes to this topic of money. Our hope is this radio show would just be a supplement to what you're learning in church. Don't stop going to church. Every weekend, you and your family, you've got to be in church. This is just a supplement. Well, folks, don't forget, if you want to save hundreds of dollars right away, just go to stewardship.com, click on Find an ELP to get started with an independent insurance agent in your area. Folks, I pray that you've enjoyed today's broadcast. We're here on the dial at the same time every day, Monday through Friday. And this show is also available on demand 24/7 on iTunes and stewardship.com. Remember, in John 10:10, Jesus tells us, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Lord, thank you. Thank you for the life that you trust us with, life to the full. Help us to live celebrating this life that you've offered us. May we be good stewards of such an unbelievable gift. Amen.